This is the Palladian Energy Podcast, a podcast series for energy professionals featuring short, insightful interviews with experts who can shed light on topics that matter to you and your business. We'll cover issues relevant to the upstream, midstream, and downstream sectors. The first series will comprise 10 episodes, each providing valuable information on the topic of digitalization in the oil and gas industry. I'm your host, Elizabeth Corner, Senior Editor at Palladian Publications. Please subscribe to the podcast for free on anchor.fm and rate and review.
Sponsoring this episode of the Palladian Energy Podcast is Prisma Photonics, helping to keep the most critical, large-scale infrastructure up and running. Introducing a quantum leap in pipeline monitoring for smarter, safer, and more efficient operations. Head to prismaphotonics.com to learn more about Prisma Flow, a pipeline monitoring solution that can scale to thousands of kilometers without installing any sensors for leak detection, third-party intrusion, excavations, and more. Prisma Photonics, pipeline response ability at scale.
It's episode 3, and I am pleased to be hosting Dr. Brian Duffy, who is Vice President of Industry Partners at FutureOn, and Jay Munipalli, the Global Digital Program Manager for Specialist Engineering and Consulting at Wood. Hi, Brian. Hi, Jay. Great to have you on the podcast.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Hello.
So some background on the two companies to get us started. Brian is representing FutureOn, which provides software solutions offering cutting-edge visualization technologies to the energy sector. Its products include a cloud-based digital platform that provides rapid visual workflows for early-stage subsea engineering work, and digital twin technology that creates an exact digital copy of an oil and gas company's physical asset, and then that is used to maximize asset performance and value. And Jay is here from Wood. They are a leading consulting and engineering company, partnering with clients to secure sustainable economic recovery from existing energy infrastructure to optimize assets and extend productive field life. Wood designs, engineers, builds, operates, and maintains some of the most complex assets in the world. So Wood and FutureOn are working together on an integrated technical and digital service for operators. Today, we'll be talking about the collaboration and about all the good that can come from harnessing collective expertise and collective efficiencies. Sharing is caring, after all. Brian and Jay will talk about the importance of continually developing tech in the subsea and ocean-based energy systems space to keep pushing that digitalization journey onwards and upwards. So let's dive in and talk about the collaboration in which Wood's technical services in early field development studies will integrate with FutureOn's field design applications. But perhaps you two can walk me through the basics of the work that you'll do together and what each company will bring to the table in this collaboration.
Sure, Elizabeth. Now, FutureOn's Field Twin platform provides a cloud-native and importantly to many of our customers, a cloud-agnostic framework upon which its users can deliver all new digital workflows to their engineers and their staff. Now, the out-of-the-box functionality provided by FutureOn within the Field Twin platform is mainly focused on the definition of metadata, the visualization of assets distributed across the geographic domain of the project, and secure collaboration among the users inside the platform. You know, but most importantly, FutureOn provides all of its REST APIs that are used to run the Field Twin platform and our native Field Twin applications to all of its users. And FutureOn sees Wood as a vital partner because their tools and their expertise in digital technologies can provide not only Wood users, but interested third parties with the other applications that are needed to be built upon the Field Twin platform to deliver these digital workflows for subsea and offshore energy systems. So Jay, now I'll turn it to the Wood's perspective of how those services will be deployed.
Okay, so see, Wood's engineering and consulting services for our customers are fundamentally driven by looking to solve their challenges. and the current need is for accelerated decision making, wherein we need to utilize existing experience and learnings to reduce potential risks for future field developments. So to enable these quick decision making, we need digital apps and platforms to help bridge the domain knowledge that is resident in our experts, coupling with the learnings from analogous developments that we have worked on, and also utilize the technology and design tools that we have developed over the last 40 years. Let me give a live example here. We invested and built the automated design for pipelines. This covers for oil and gas transmission, and now also for hydrogen transmission through the pipelines. Here, within a single platform, we have a digital design basis that acts as the foundation for the required engineering assessments. And these are linked through APIs to tested and proven calculation engines, which are a bedrock of our legacy business. Now, by connecting automated design with Futuron's FieldTwin, we have a ready web-based solution, giving our customers a collaborative workspace wherein all the stakeholders and the experts can use our smart design tools in the background to perform some very quick and rapid engineering assessments. By this, the engineers can now be more focused on solving the challenge than performing repetitive tasks or workflows. Now, this is just one example. In addition to this, we would look to integrate our GIS environments and also our other design products. One such example could be our product for global assessment for floating and offshore wind, which is Flexcom Wind. So, you know, in no way are we limited to just pipelines for that matter. And we see a very busy time ahead for both of us, bringing together the right integrations that make sense for the projects for our customers.
Fantastic. Now let's get into how the collaboration will work. So Jay, your colleague at Wood, Matt Kirk, who's the Senior Vice President, said about the collaboration, the opportunities to influence project economics and optimize the CapEx on energy developments remain highest at the conceptual and early phases of a project. So tell me, what are the benefits of focusing on those conceptual and early phases, and what impact do you believe the collaboration will have on Wood's assets?
See, putting this in simpler words, if we can take the benefit of experience that we have on studies from similar field developments, and we combine that with the know-how that we have from our experts, we can help by selecting the most probable final solution much, much earlier in the engineering design phase. And this will help in reducing uncertainties and risks, all of which have a direct positive impact on the project economics. And it also allows everyone to focus on the winners and filter out any potential issues before they actually become one. See, we've already spoken about, you know, the collaborative workspace. And this becomes very important during this early phase because we can now get inputs across multiple disciplines and stakeholders within a short period. By automating our design, the engineer can quickly assess the technical feasibilities of a potential solution there and then with all stakeholders and iterate on the solution till it fits everyone's needs. This way, everyone gets to see the big picture, has a better understanding of the risks, and can make much better informed decisions at pace.
So Brian, perhaps you can talk a bit about Futuron's collaborative approach and how you go about building a visual blueprint of a field development. I'm wondering what sort of data you put into your models, what data comes out, and how you use that to paint a picture of an asset.
At the foundational level, as I kind of mentioned earlier, a field twin project is about the geographical location and configuration of all the various assets or components that comprise a subsea or offshore energy project. You know, examples of those components, the fundamental stuff, the seabed bathymetry data, subsurface geological horizons, wellhead locations, the wellbore trajectories from those wellhead locations down into the targeted subsurface locations. Then back on the seabed, you've got the subsea production system, the pipelines, the subsea control systems, and finally the floating or fixed asset to which all the energy is flowing to, and the system in the consideration of a floating platform of the mooring system. So that's at the foundational data level. Now, interestingly, FieldTwin does not dictate any particular data structure to what we call the metadata that describe the attributes, the physical and functional attributes of those assets. It's a blank page. We have begun to work with industry operators and with our partners to offer an out-of-the-box FieldTwin data model, but it's not a required adoption of our users. They can build as rich or as lean of a data model as they want and put as much or as little data onto each of those components of the field as their workflows need. And so really, the user is free to put in as much data into those geographical representation of the assets as they find useful and important. With our APIs, they can get it all back out again and feed it into another system that they need for a later project phase. So it's really whatever the users want. And it leaves some users questioning, okay, now where do I start? It sounds great, but where do I start? And again, that's where we're looking to partners like Wood to come alongside those users and say, let us show you some of the first steps. And maybe your second step will be different than what Wood wants, but that's fine. At least you've got your first steps down your journey of transforming your business.
Mm-hmm. And I wonder what your first few conversations were with Wood about potential collaboration, and how did this project, this collaboration come about?
Well, it actually predated my joining Futuron. I've only been with Futuron a little over a year. And I think my boss said, the first thing you're going to have to do is sit down with me and our colleagues in Wood, and we're going to have to get this deal done. Right, Jay? So Jay and I spent a lot of time talking. And there's so many opportunities. I think the hard part for Futuron and Wood is deciding which ones we can prioritize and staff first.
Yes.
Jay's mentioned wind. Futuron has great ambitions with wind, but we know we need partners. And we're eager to see where we can take that with Wood's wind capabilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do have a question for both of you on that, I suppose, about how the collaboration looks towards the future. So I'm thinking about net zero targets and decarbonization in particular.
We are currently well into the energy transition phase, where there is a strong momentum behind future energies, such as hydrogen and renewables, coupled with all the decarbonization efforts. The scale at which projects in this sector are growing and the pace it requires to meet the socio-economic needs inherently requires digitalization to be the core of all the efforts. Let me explain more here. In conventional oil and gas, for example, to a large degree, the energy vectors are well understood. But when it comes to energy transition, the technology is still nascent. This means that the range of potential solutions for each of the development options out there is much broader. And it also involves a much wider spectrum of stakeholders and consequently experts as well, who are all needed to be brought together to determine the optimum development concept. Again, also at rapid pace. For this, one of the needs is the web-based API-centric, but a flexible solution as well, that can be scaled for the range of the future energy options. And this is where we see, as Wood and Futuron, a very exciting future for both of us, exciting and busy.
And are there stages in the collaboration between your companies? Is this something that will develop over time and bring in other goals?
Yes, I think almost certainly. I think as both organizations begin to realize what's possible and what the market is pulling for, we will certainly adjust our approach to the collaboration and try to be responsive to what the market needs. Jay talked about collaboration again, and that is one of the fundamental strengths that FieldTwin tries to bring, is to give a platform where as many or as few stakeholders can have access to the same data in real time. And you talk about what does the work we do look towards the future. I mean, one thing I've thought about for almost 10 years now is we're still a document-driven industry.
Sure.
Right? It all comes down to either a PDF. It used to be a piece of paper. Now it's a PDF file. But the bottom line is it's data. The file is just how we consume the data. And in other realms of our life, we don't need a physical bill statement anymore. We log on to see it. So there will be a day, and I'm hoping I'm still in the industry and haven't retired, where it'll be approving the data, bit by bit of the data, and not a document. Because a lot of people have observed you issue a document on a project, and within 48 hours, it's probably out of date. Some piece of data in that project, particularly if it's an early stage of a project, will have been reviewed by experts and changed. And being able to communicate that change effectively, as Jay kind of alluded to minimize the risk and maximize the possibility that you've uncovered the most impactful and efficient and environmentally sustainable project delivery path. That's what this platform ultimately will hopefully provide.
So the platform really is matching the speed of the industry, so it can reflect back how quickly the industry is changing.
Yeah, but the platform alone can't do it. It needs the expertise of the users, it needs the trust of the users, and it needs the ability to plug in the right tools and the right technology for the right workflow. But and what we really haven't addressed here, and I don't know if it's going to come up later, is the technology is only a small part of the puzzle.
Right.
And I keep reminding the leadership, it's about the people. Because if the people don't understand how this process is going to make their lives better, either from a work perspective or if you're taking a larger perspective of the whole planet, they're going to be reluctant to the change. So we need to manage that change of around the people as much as the technology.
Yes, we were just talking about that in the last episode. So that is definitely a theme that has come out of this series. And as you know, we're talking about digitalization throughout the podcast series. I'm interested to know your thoughts on the current implementation of digital technologies in the sector. We have just touched on it, I suppose, and ask you what we should be doing to advance that cause.
The implementation is going to require, and you know, listening is sometimes hard to do, listening to all the stakeholders and being deliberate about how you respond to any questions they have or concerns they have. And to be willing to step back and reconfigure the technology to try to minimize some of those concerns. And I think some of that has to do with you know, ensuring integrity of the data, ensuring that you know, the stakeholders might agree to share the data, but they don't want to give up ownership of the data. And that's always been a fundamental question in, I think, many industries, but particularly what I've seen in the energy industry, who owns the data? You know, an operator may pay for it, but very rarely does an operator have the staff to actually create and gather the data, right? So it sits in the minds of a wood engineer. It sits in the minds of the platform provider. What can they, you know, do with that data to advance the good of the whole industry? And being able to own data, but share it in a safe and understandable way, I think is going to be some keys to moving things quicker and really finding the most optimum solutions.
Yeah, my feeling, I suppose, is that asset operators everywhere are recognizing the need to transform their existing infrastructure and perhaps the ways that they work, and that simulations and other digital technologies like the digital twin technology can really change the way that we work. And it's about taking that first step, or it's about leveling up what you're doing in that arena.
So, one of the things that we have seen is what everybody would like to have is the data to flow through to the people who need it and who can translate that into value. And you want to be able to move the data with the right controls on it as well, you know, the right permissions, the right access, and also making sure that the data is fit for use for what it's intended for. So there is the aspect of how is the data flowing through and to whom, and then comes down to on what platform, on what standards. And I think in the last 4 years, most of the customers have, you know, they were in the journey of trying to understand what does digitalization really mean for their business. To a large degree, I would say that most of them have
a good, strong idea of what it means for them. And now it's really getting into those details of, you know, how is this all going to translate for the value that they're looking to gain from it. And it'll still be a few more years before we get more standardized platforms or processes that the industry will follow through on. It's a maturing journey, I would say.
And an acceptance of risk, right? I think that's also another hurdle that those of us who are evangelists about digital technology is explaining, yes, there is risk. There's risk of not doing anything and continuing with our old way of doing business. And there's risk of moving too fast and not being aware of what the pitfalls are. Trying to manage the risk in between is obviously the sweet spot that most leadership is willing to take. For me, it's being patient to say, fine, we'll go slower.
Sure, because I think it's one thing on setting and developing a digital strategy and another to then promote innovation within that and to reach out and take the next step.
And it's very important that whatever is built and developed really is aligned to the value that they're looking to generate from it. You know, there is always a big danger.
But measuring that value is so hard, right? I mean, that's one of the things I keep asking other technology companies and consultants, you know, how can you really measure that value? I mean, you and I have had this conversation. You talk about cost of non-quality. You know the companies are losing tons of money by rework or whatever. We don't measure it well enough to really know. And nobody wants to say, okay, well, we had an average in a cost of non-quality of $500,000 and maybe $3 million over the last 5 years. Are we going to wait 3 years to see if that drops to you know, 1/10 that value, 1/4 that value? And are we going to attribute all of that to our digital steps that we've taken? I'd like to think so. But you try to talk to leaders and say, you got to give me 3 years to get the data to prove that the investment was worth it. And they're going to look at you and go, no way. You got to find a better metric for us to measure.
Mm-hmm. Jay, how do you measure that? Do you have sort of parameters and things that you'll be keeping an eye on?
Yeah. So, I mean, it starts off with what are you trying to measure, right? Each one has a different yardstick in that respect. But fundamentally, you know, you need to go through those steps. You need to go through the first step of aligning yourselves with what does the company want to achieve. Then trying to understand what value you're looking to achieve through digitalization. And once you define that, then you need to start marking down how, you know, what are the key results that would help define those values. And then from there, you derive down the actions needed or, you know, what are the different steps on how you'd measure those. So it is quite an involved process. You know, there is no one answer for it. And there is no shortcut for it, unfortunately, as well.
And as you say, Brian, it's something that is a long-term perspective. It requires a long-term perspective.
It does require an awareness that it's not going to be clear what the return is ultimately going to be in the first 12 months. And that's the frustrating part, because you're asking for a 12-month budget, and yet you're telling them in 12 months we'll have some data to evaluate on the investment, but you really need to give it another period of time. So it's hard.
Yeah. So what is the main point that you would each like people to take away from our conversation today?
From our perspective, we find that the need for having collaborative workspaces where everyone's engaged so that everyone has the opportunity to see what's happening, be able to provide their inputs to avoid potential pitfalls, it is very critical in these very early phases of the projects. And there aren't too many solutions out there that does this well. And this is a strong reason why we are collaborating with Futuron, because this is what we see as the best solution out there right now.
I mean, from Futuron's perspective, the message we'd like to take away is that, you know, technology is something that enables people to think way beyond what their experiences have been in the past. So, and as one of our clients said, if you take your existing way of doing a particular task and just map everything about that onto a digital platform, you really haven't begun to tap the value of the platform. So you have to be, as Jay said, be willing to ask, what is the value in the objective and the data that you might need to produce from this workflow or this activity, and leave that on the table and leave everything else wide open. How you get from the starting point to delivering that value or delivering that data should be open for debate and open for reconsideration based on what the technology can do. And from, you know, people who are looking for a platform, look for one that's truly open. You know, can you get whatever data you need into the platform? Can you get it out? Can it become kind of your orchestration of your digital systems? Because you're not going to find a mammoth one-stop-fits-all solution set from any technology provider. Even Microsoft or Amazon is not going to be able to do that. So, you know, look for a provider that will be open and provide you, if you wish, a system that can be configured the way you need it to be for your business.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Brian and Jay.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thanks a lot, Elizabeth.
So that is a wrap on episode 3, in which we learned about the potential for platform as a service software to advance the transformation of the offshore energy industry. Wood and Futuron see collaboration as key. Oilfield Technology keeps upstream oil and gas professionals up to date on the latest technologies and developments in the sector through in-depth articles, regional reports, and project news. Sign up to our newsletter at oilfieldtechnology.com/newsletter for a free copy of each issue. Thanks for listening to the Palladian Energy Podcast. Subscribe for free on anchor.fm. If you have enjoyed this episode, please rate and review and forward to a friend or colleague.